This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. You might have seen the recent TV commercial where actress Ellen Page returns to her hometown in Nova Scotia to see her family doctor.
Hey.
Hey.
I was just in town for a few days, and I was wondering if I could say hi to the doctor. Is he in?
He's in Copenhagen.
Oh, well, that's nice.
So you can still see him?
You just said he was in
Copenhagen. Come on.
The nurse shepherds Ellen into the office, and up pops her doctor on a video screen.
Doc, look who's in town.
Ellen.
Copenhagen?
Cool, right? Vacation.
But still seeing patients.
The new office.
Between the movie star and the production values, the scene may look unrealistic. But for Nicholas Peterson, this is reality.
Good day.
Good day. Can you hear and see me?
That's good. You can see me well and hear me well.
I can see you well and hear you well.
Very good. Good. So how have you been?
I've been doing all right.
Peterson sits under a barrage of fans in his steamy Somerville apartment. He's doing all right today, but it's been a hard few months for him. He has a number of medical problems, and he lost his job last year. That's when he went to see his primary care physician, Dr. Ronald Dixon.
After being unemployed, you know, there's things that happen with it that you get depressed. Other things, and I met with him last April to talk about antidepressants.
That first meeting with Dr. Dixon was in person, but the follow-ups have been via video conference using the computer program Skype.
And it was kind of a remarkable experience because I have never been someone who enjoys going to the doctor, and mostly it's from being overweight.
Peterson feels less self-conscious when he can see the doctor in his own home. But also, these Skype sessions have given Peterson and Dr. Dixon more time to get comfortable with each other.
And the frequency allows someone to have a more informal relationship or allow someone to let their guard down. There's also less of a restriction about time. Whenever you go to a doctor's appointment, you always feel like they're running late. It's because they've booked so many appointments and they can't get them into the time period. So there's less of a feeling like that, I think, just psychologically.
You are on taking the lisinopril, correct?
Yes, and I'm down to the I'm up to the 20 milligrams.
Okay, good. So you're not getting dizzy.
No.
What about vitamin D?
Vitamin D, I've been taking that still.
Doctors have been doing some degree of care like this over the telephone for years.
But I can see his reactions on his face, which is a lot different than a phone call. And also, it's reinforced by an in-person visit once a year. After having two or three video conferencing, I came in for my annual appointment. I felt like he knew what was going on, that it wasn't that I have to recount a year.
Let's be aware of it.
Great.
All right, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
We'll touch base at least on the gateway in 2 months.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
In addition to being Nicholas Peterson's doctor, Ron Dixon directs the virtual practice project at Mass General. He believes that as many as 60% of doctor visits could be conducted in the way we just heard, or by email. And he says that would save countless hours and dollars. He joins me now in the studio. Dr. Ron Dixon, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Sasha.
We just heard a bit of that appointment that you had with one of your patients, Nicholas Peterson, who's a 33-year-old who lives in Somerville. You did that via Skype. How was that session useful to you as a doctor?
Well, I had seen Nicholas probably 2 months prior to that visit, and he had had a number of active issues. So instead of just sending him out and saying, good luck, and I'll see you when you come back, when you're able to make an appointment, it was nice to be able to say, look, I'm going to be able to talk to you in 2 months via Skype, and I'm going to be following up all of those issues that we'd addressed during your appointment, and there were multiple.
And how often would you say you have those Skype appointments with Nicholas?
We've had more Skype appointments than we've had in-person appointments. And the reason is, as you mentioned, Nicholas has lost his job, and copays are difficult. And this is a really easy way for him to have access and not have to leave the house, not have to schedule time when he could be looking for a job. It makes it easier for him.
If you only saw Nicholas in person, would you see him less frequently?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So this adds a sort of regularity or frequency to the
visits. It adds continuity to his care. And remember, Nicholas has a number of medical problems that are active, and adding continuity makes the care of those problems far more effective.
Listeners, we're talking to Dr. Ron Dixon of Mass General about the Skype appointments he does with some of his patients. He says this is a very efficient and effective way to see patients without having them to come into the doctor. Would you like to see your doctor like this? Does it drive you crazy when you have to take a half day off work to go to what can often turn out to be a really short visit to your doctor? Or do you think that if you were only communicating with your doctor by email or by Skype, you wouldn't get the same quality of care? Let us know what you think. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Dr. Dixon, I should note that when you and I communicated a bit before this segment, you actually texted me a few times. So sure. You are clearly a tech-savvy guy who's very comfortable with modern technology.
Correct, but again, I'm not. I don't really have an IT background. I happen to like efficiency. So instead of trying to play telephone tag, that seemed to be a very effective way to communicate. I think that that can also be a part of a medical practice. If you read the article that we discussed, the Health Affair article, it's really about communicating with a physician's practice in a number of ways, whether it's through asynchronous messaging, whether it's through video conferencing or phone calls.
Asynchronous messaging meaning?
Usually email, but it's secure, and there can be a number of formats. Some of them are templated formats, so if you have a problem like back pain, the computer program will ask you a number of questions about the quality of the pain, and then your provider will get a large message about those discrete symptoms.
And of course, many people are quite familiar with technology like Skype. They use it to communicate with long-distance friends and relatives. It seems that it's more the medical world that's stubbornly old-fashioned in that it doesn't so much use technology like Skype and email.
Yeah, you're right. If you ask doctors about the potential effectiveness of these technologies, most would say there's definitely evidence to support it. The problem is, of course, the payment models. If you're not going to reimburse email, asynchronous messaging, Skype, then there's no way you're going to get doctors, especially primary care doctors, who are struggling to keep on a treadmill to use these technologies.
Right, and we will talk more about the cost issue later, but for now, listeners, give us a call. We want to hear what you think about the idea of having appointments with your doctor by Skype or by email, saving you the trip to the doctor. Do you like that idea? Do you worry that if you did that, you wouldn't have the same quality of care? Would like to know what you think. Dr. Dixon, you had also told me that when you got out of medical school about 10 years ago, you actually began to communicate with some patients by email. It seemed very effective, very efficient. And you told me that you had an administrator that stepped in and said, there's no way to bill for that. You really shouldn't be doing that. It's not bringing in any revenue.
Well, that's correct. And I think that's a good point. I mean, a medical practice has to be able to survive fiscally if you're going to provide care to its patients. You can't be running negatively as a practice and expect your doctors to be happy and expect the practice to be happy, basically. So it made sense, although from an efficiency standpoint, I was using email in all of my life, so why not use it in my practice?
So clearly the payment model is something that has to change for this to work. Mm-hmm. I want to add another doctor to this conversation. She's a doctor who's not so sure she could provide the same quality of care online as she can in person. Dr. Amy Shipp is a general internist at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. She also teaches at Harvard Medical School, and much of her teaching focuses on the doctor-patient relationship. Hi, Dr. Shipp, and thanks for being on Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So what are your concerns, because I understand you have some concerns, about the idea of appointments or patient relationships that happen online or by email?
Well, I understand Dr. Dixon's bias. I, too, am a primary care internist, and I live with all the same pressures. On the other hand, I would say that in many of my patient's appointments, even when they're coming in for what I think is a routine and kind of very clearly delineated issue, like management of cholesterol or high blood pressure, when I embark on a discussion with them, within the first few moments, I'd say about 50% of my patients are emotionally quite challenged, upset, in tears, over something that's really unrelated to that issue. And so I do think that there is a component of the clinical face-to-face that is different than kind of almost an administrative visit that one could accomplish electronically.
So what about that, Dr. Dixon? What can't you accomplish when you don't have that patient in front of you to see their mood, their demeanor, their skin tone, something that you being there in person makes them open up and sometimes burst into tears, as Dr. Shipp has found?
Right. I think it's really important to make the point that I think face-to-face visits are key, and I don't see technology replacing face-to-face visits. Rather, I see technology as augmenting the relationships that we have with our patients. I'm all with Dr. Shipp about the importance of patients having eye contact with a doctor and having the power of healing hands. But I see this technology as augmenting the relationship. You can replace a few face-to-face visits with these types of technologically enabled visits, but you're not going to replace all visits with these.
And I believe you initially meet with all of your patients in person.
Absolutely.
Then you decide whether some of them that relationship could be continued online.
Absolutely.
Listeners, we're talking about virtual medicine in the form of doctor appointments that happen by email or by Skype. Let us know what you think. Would you like to do this, or do you think that you just wouldn't get the same quality of care if you did? We have a call from a Stu in Cambridge. Hi, Stu. Welcome to Radio Boston. What do you think about this idea?
Hi, Sasha. Thank you for having me. My name is Seuss, actually, Seuss Rai. I think it's an excellent idea. I've been actually waiting for it. There were many times when you have multiple conditions and you want to update your doctor on the results of these conditions and things like that, where he could easily, you know, with an email respond to you and get you going. And you'd save a lot of time. You would see more patients more often. You wouldn't have to, sometimes you'd have to wait a month to get an appointment with a doctor unless something is an emergency. So this way, the wait is over.
Dr. Dixon, here's a patient who finds it frustrating to sometimes have to take a half day off work to go see the doctor, the hassle of parking, of driving. Mm-hmm. I imagine that also is a benefit. I mean, do you find that patients are often aggravated when they have to do in-person appointments with you and have a very different attitude when they can do a Skype appointments with you?
Yes, absolutely. Access is challenged in primary care in general, and especially in the greater Boston area. There are not enough primary care physicians, especially in the advent of the reform that's taken place in the insurance end. So if we can provide alternative modes of access through these technologies and empower patients to get better care for their chronic issues, why don't we do it?
You raise an important point about insurance reform, because now that many more patients around the country have health insurance, many more of them are going to be going to the doctor, getting to primary care physicians. This is going to be more and more patients competing for what's already a very difficult time to get with doctors in person.
Absolutely. And it's going to require a significant change in how we deliver health care. We might need to change the definition of a primary care provider. We might need to include nurse practitioners and physicians assistants in that realm.
Dr. Amy Shipp at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, who's joining us by phone. What about that? Patients who really find it very frustrating that sometimes for simple medical things, they've got to take time off work, kill a half day going to a doctor's office, in which a lot of it is wait time.
Yeah. I'm nodding in my off the radio here. I know that those are huge issues for patients, and they also kind of complicate the nature of the visit, because the higher stakes, the more you've expended getting to the visit, the higher your expectations are, and that complicates all interactions. I think that the capacity to interact with patients electronically in the ways that Dr. Dixon described certainly has its benefits. I think, like any new technology, we have to be careful, though, not to sort of fall down the slippery slope. There was an interesting piece recently in the media stating that that patients who were touched by their doctors perceived those visits to last twice as long as they actually had. So there is still an enormous power in the human touch, in addition to the face-to-face and the emotional component. And I would hate to move to an era when all of the care were wholly electronic.
Dr. Shipp, there's certainly this enormous part of medicine is this laying on of hands. And I've talked to some older doctors who feel that younger doctors are losing that art.
Yes.
Do you worry that if we move more and more to Skype appointments, to email appointments, we lose the art of the laying on of hands even more?
Well, it's certainly a concern. You know, the generation of physicians practicing now, one could unfortunately argue that our skills as physical diagnosticians have waned considerably as technology has sort of skyrocketed. We have so many more technological ways of making a diagnosis that the skill of us as diagnosticians has really waned. And you know, without being apocalyptic about it, I again would hate to see sort of emotional and human interaction skills get lost as we move towards a much more administrative kind of interaction. But I share Dr. Dixon's views of the complexities of the kind of care we give now and the potential benefits of electronic communication.
Listeners, we're talking about the idea that a huge number of what are now in-person doctor visits could happen in very different ways. They could happen by email. They could happen by Skype. Would you like that? Would you embrace the idea of Skyping with your doctor? Or do you think that you just might not get the same quality of care, the same attention? Do you worry your doctor might not pick up some subtle sign that he or she might only see in person? Dr. Dixon, you've brought up the issue of how we pay for these, and this is important mm-hmm. because right now I believe you're doing these pro bono. It's basically an experiment or a pilot project.
Correct. Let me just say one thing. We did research in our group on 160 patients who had these types of interactions. We compared face-to-face to video conference visits, and what we found were that the diagnosis, evaluation, and management that we discovered during either modality was undifferent. So basically there was no significant difference between face-to-face and video conference visits, and that patients and physicians were very satisfied with doing either visit.
We have a comment, an online comment on WBUR.org/Boston from an Ellen who says, for years, I have asked my doctors for their email addresses. I imagine they just don't want to spend time that they aren't billing for because only one of them is willing to do it. However, often when I have a non-medical question, I frequently have to call repeatedly by telephone because the line is busy so often or leave a message on voicemail. Much of what happens is my appointments are just discussion with no actual examination or other hands-on events. I would love to be able to use Skype. So, Dr. Dixon, she gets at the kind of things that are very efficient for email. You know, you've talked about how a lot of appointments are going over minor test results, talking about what you describe as chronic disease management, such as let's get updated on your diabetes, your asthma, your obesity. Tell us what you think is ideal for a Skype or online or email visit.
You know, I wouldn't say there is anything that is ideal. Certainly follow-up management of chronic disease like diabetes, hypertension, elevated cholesterol. So those types of discussions are very effective over technology. Management of mental illness actually is very effective, especially in video conferencing. There's data to suggest that some people are actually more comfortable when the provider is not in front of them but is being seen through technology. It's actually very common in the prison system, for example. So I agree with the Dr. Shipp that we need to be careful when we start using these technologies to deliver care. But if there's an access issue and we know that a lot of the things that we do within a visit could be handled in different ways, then we need to start trying.
Listeners, let us know what you think about the idea of online or email or Skype appointments with your doctor. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Besides Dr. Ron Dixon from Mass General, who's in the studio, we have by phone Dr. Amy Shipp, who's at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. And Dr. Shipp, you had mentioned to me earlier that you supervise some medical interns and residents, and that one of the things the third years do is that they have to be observed going into a patient room where an actor is pretending to be a patient and the doctor has to deliver a diagnosis of cancer. That seems to get at the kind of things that could only happen in person or should only happen in person. Is that what, where you worry that Skyping or online just might not be appropriate?
Indeed. And I, listening to Dr. Dixon, I have a strong sense he'd agree with that too. But yeah, I mean, you know, having said that, There are skills that I think are absolutely critical that physicians learn in the giving of bad news, which is part and parcel of what we do all the time. You know, despite that, I myself have unfortunately been forced to give a diagnosis of cancer over the phone. So even though it's the kind of thing that we prefer to do face-to-face for, I think, what are self-evident reasons, there are times when that isn't feasible. Probably chief among them that if you are working up cancer, knowing is really important to people, and kind of getting them the information face-to-face can be really challenging. In an ideal world, that would probably be how many people would choose to get such difficult information, and it's certainly something that I would hope doctors in training and medical students will learn, because it's a critical skill. Done poorly can be really devastating. So yes, the ideal is face-to-face, rather, but as I said that, I recognize that I myself have given such horrible news on the phone.
Dr. Dixon, I sat in on one of the Skype appointments on your patient's end at your patient's house when I was working on this story. And one thing that I thought was interesting is that you had actually asked this patient if he could turn a light on. I think you were seeing each other on Skype. You saw a little image of him. Mm-hmm. But it looked as if you felt that the background was too dark. And it made me wonder whether you realized, I do need to hone in a little more on his skin tone. There is something I need to see, not just hear.
Right. I think eye contact with patients is important. And I'd like to say that I agree with Dr. Shipp. You know, it's always best to make difficult diagnoses and talk about those diagnoses with patients in front of you. However, once you get to the management side, that's where the technology can be very helpful. One example I have is the first patient that I used video conferencing on was a patient that I diagnosed with lung cancer. And basically, he had a lot of difficulty getting out of his house at the end of his life. And we had several visits over Skype with him in his bed where I would manage his pain and I would manage his oral secretions. And then he ended up passing away. Our last six appointments were on Skype.
We have a call from a Jessica from Brookline. Jessica, thanks for calling Radio Boston. What is your perspective on this?
I'm a 24-year-old student. I'm a grad student now, and I just wanted to comment that when I went to college, I'm from Boston, but I went to college in D.C., and when I went, I didn't see a doctor for 6 years because I didn't change a primary care physician. I was still seeing a pediatrician if I really had to. But if I had been able to talk to my doctor over Skype, I probably would have gotten a much better health care than I did when I was off in college.
Dr. Dixon, this gets at the idea that you actually might have patients right now who aren't even bothering to book appointments because of the hassle of a visit, whereas if they knew they could just Skype with you, it might be a much more regular relationship that you would have.
Absolutely. And again, I want to reiterate that it's not a matter of simply Skyping with me. All of the patients that we see in internal medicine, we like to see face-to-face to establish that relationship. Let me tell you a little story I think that I told you when I saw you originally. I had some symptoms around 2 years ago where I developed some numbness and tingling, all sorts of strange things that frighten an internist. And I delayed, finally was able to find a primary care doctor through the help of a friend. Went to see him in person, of course, for our first visit. And after seeing him, around half of my symptoms went away. And that's the power of actually seeing that person. However, the rest of my treatment, my diagnosis, was delivered over email. So it turned out I had Lyme disease. He sent me an email. He said, I'm going to fax a prescription into your pharmacy. He followed up with an email 2 weeks later. How are you doing? That's how we should deliver care. I managed to get that type of care delivery because I'm in the profession and he was helping me out.
We also have a call from a Carol from Sudbury. Hi, Carol. Thanks for calling Radio Boston. Have you had experience with this kind of thing?
I have. I worked with a Dr. Richard Salzone at McLean Hospital. He's a psychopharmacologist for my son, and he was the most attentive doctor because of the fact that I always felt that I could email him or call him. And I know he uses Skype. I didn't actually use the Skype with him. But it was fantastic, and especially for something as complex and constantly changing as mental health issues and medication. It was just fantastic.
And did he do this sort of out of goodness of his heart, or was he able to be compensated in some way?
Oh, no, he billed for everything, which I was gladly paid because it was the best care.
He billed for emails?
He billed even for emails.
Really?
Not, you know, short little emails, but, oh, yeah, any kind of content. Because we, you know, you have to do med checks constantly.
So, Dr. Dixon, this raises the cost issue again. The way the healthcare system is set up now, you only get paid really for things that there are billing codes for. And right now, there isn't a billing code for email. So, we have to change that system if this is going to work.
That's correct. There is no appropriate compensation for many of the modes of care that we discussed.
But you've also noted in the past that doctors, like teachers who grade papers and prepare lesson plans at night, actually do a lot of work essentially for free.
Oh, absolutely. And in the system that we're using at Mass General, for example, we do a lot of results management. We actually do patient email. It's occupying more and more of our time, and it's not compensated, but it's really good care, and it makes our practice more efficient.
We also have a call from Jamaica Plain. This is Jennifer from JP. Hi, Jennifer, and thanks for calling Radio Boston.
Oh, hello. One point I wanted to make, well, this is a nice way to sort of augment care and provide some continuity of care. There is a large percentage of people who don't have this technology easily available to them. Most of my patients don't have computers, and many of them don't even have telephones. So if I were to routinely substitute either email or Skype or telephone, there's some people who just disappear.
Dr. Dixon, are there patients in your practice that fall into that category?
Absolutely. And what this does, it would allow us to offload some of the patients that are clogging our clinic to these types of modalities and then have the patients that really need to see us come in. I'd like to make one point. If you look at current practices at Kaiser Permanente, for example, where they have instituted an electronic health record and a gateway and a phone call system, they have decreased their in-person visits by 30%, and most of the patients are having telephone visits, so they don't require any additional technology to have those types of visits.
And Dr. Shipp from Beth Israel, you've been joining us by phone. Could you briefly tell us, you came into this call with a lot of concerns about sort of Skyping and emailing. Do you feel like after having heard of all this, you are more persuaded that this might be something you want to incorporate into your practice?
You know, I mean, obviously, some of the concerns endure. I think any time we have new technology, it's worth sort of pausing to think where this might go, because we all fall down some slippery slopes. But, you know, I've been listening. And my practice uses electronic communication routinely, and the real challenge has been reimbursement for that time. I think there are a lot of very positive components of having interactions with patients in time frames that work for them and support the care of everybody we take care of.
So it sounds like both of you feel like there's a lot of promise here, but we have to work out billing issues. We have to work out some in-person issues. Thanks to both of you for being on Radio Boston today. Dr. Ron Dixon is director of the Virtual Practice Project at Mass General. And Dr. Amy Shipp, who joined us by phone, is a general internist at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, you're a moral person. You like community and ritual, but you're not sure about the whole God thing. A new humanist student center at Harvard may be the place for you. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.